Hello, my name is David Bird, and this talk is on the subject of burnout. It is one of a series of talks on aspects of lifestyle medicine. Just a little bit about myself. I'm a doctor who works in Melbourne, Australia, with a special interest in lifestyle medicine and in nutritional medicine. First of all, let us define what we mean by the term burnout. By burnout, we mean a state in which the body is in exhaustion, not just for half a day, but a prolonged feeling of exhaustion, as if the energy resources have been consumed. Burnout is something that can happen to almost anybody in today's fast-paced society, and the prevention of burnout is vital for us all to understand. In addition to this, we will talk today about the treatment of burnout. I believe the medical condition of burnout is sometimes given other names, such as chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, nervous breakdown, or adrenal exhaustion. This does not mean that burnout is always the reason for these other conditions, but I believe that there is an overlap that can occur at times, and that at other times burnout may in fact be the main cause of the chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, or nervous breakdown. In order for us to understand the subject of burnout, we need to understand energy. Where does energy come from? From food, water, and air. But energy in the human body is not just a matter of eating lots and lots of food, drinking lots and lots of water, and breathing lots and lots of air. The quality of these things is important, and too much of them can be a problem just as much as too little of them. The energy that we have available to use in our bodies and minds is dependent on a number of things, and it reduces over time as we get older, simply because our bodies start to wear out. I'd like you to imagine a graph. On our graph, on the vertical axis, we have energy. And on the horizontal axis, we have time. If we were to draw a graph showing the normal pattern of energy in an average person, it would start, say, midway on our vertical axis, and it would decrease over time to zero at death. However, it would not be a smooth line down from birth to death, but there would be wobbles up and down which reflect life events. Some things that happen to us sap our energy and require a recovery period in order for us to get back on the normal line. So in a normal experience, we would have energy decreasing over time to zero at death, and a variety of wobbles down and then back up again, corresponding to different life events. Now, there is some important things to learn from this. First, you cannot expect when you are 40 or 50 to have the same available energy as when you were 20. Some people don't seem to understand this very well, and this can contribute to midlife crisis when they realize they're getting old and cannot now do what they used to do. From a practical point of view, this means that as we grow older, we need to be more aware of energy management, of not overdoing things. The other important lesson from this normal experience is to remember that a recovery period is needed after significant life events which have sapped energy. One of the modern phenomena that contributes to burnout is a lack of recovery time given following accidents, bereavement, work injuries, and other significant energy-sapping experiences. Because the pace of life is so fast, people are just not giving themselves time to recover from illnesses, accidents, and other stressful events. And this contributes to increasing the incidence of burnout in our society. Before leaving our discussion of a normal experience, I want to talk about constitutions. We are born with a constitution. We may have a strong constitution, an average constitution, or a fragile constitution. If we are blessed with a strong constitution, this means that our energy levels available at birth and in our early years will be higher than those of someone with an average or fragile constitution. Really, this means that our bodies are just more efficient at using the available energy from food, water, and air than other people. Persons with a strong constitution can play hard and work hard and don't seem to feel a lack of energy. They can suffer from a lack of empathy to other people, feeling that they should not be feeling tired. The other downside to a strong constitution is an increased risk of midlife crisis due to not learning to manage energy until it starts to drop in midlife and suddenly the realization kicks in that no longer can we play hard and work hard just the way we want and have all the energy we want. Persons with a fragile constitution tend to be forced at an earlier age to learn to manage their energy. This can be an advantage in the end and assist these people in the prevention of burnout. However, those with a fragile constitution are at high risk of burnout if a cluster of major energy-sapping life events comes along and hits them. They also need to be more aware of the need for energy recovery following significant energy-sapping events. So take a moment just to reflect, what kind of constitution do you think you have? If you are confused, it might be helpful to consider what your energy levels were like during your late teens and early 20s. This is when they should be at a peak. Take into account the amount of stress that you had in your life back then, too. For example, if you had average energy levels, but huge amounts of stress, you probably have a strong constitution. On the other hand, if you had average amounts of energy and very little stress, this would indicate an average constitution. Let's now consider our same graph, but put the energy line on for someone who has gone into burnout. So on a vertical axis, we've got constitutional energy, or our energy available in our bodies to think, move, digest, keep warm, etc. And on the horizontal axis, we have time. In the case of someone who's gone into burnout, you may have a normal looking graph with slight decrease in energy over time and a few wobbles, but then suddenly it starts to decrease more rapidly than normal and rapidly progresses to a low level of energy functioning, and there it stays. This person then travels along in life with very low energy levels. On this graph, we also have another horizontal line representing the burnout threshold for energy. The burnout threshold represents the minimum energy required to do the basic functions of life. Basic thinking, moving, digesting, keeping warm, looking after our normal immune system, and so on. When our energy goes below this line, we enter burnout, and this is when we start to suffer the symptoms of burnout. The symptoms of burnout reflect the fact that the body is now on an energy rationing program because there is no longer the minimum amount of energy available to do the basic functions. We will therefore get symptoms occurring in particularly the parts of the body that are most energy dependent. The nervous system is the most energy dependent of all the systems, and so some of the initial symptoms as a person approaches and goes into burnout involve the brain and central nervous system. Persons in burnout will suffer from problems with thinking, often described as brain fog, trouble making decisions, trouble with their short-term memory, mood disturbance, and often sleep disturbance. Another energy-dependent system is the muscles. So people in burnout often have muscle aches and pains more than normal and feel generally tired and fatigued. Another symptom is feeling too cold a lot of the time or fluctuations in temperature. The temperature regulation system doesn't seem to be working correctly. The digestive system is also very dependent on energy. Therefore, those in burnout often suffer from irritable bowel syndrome, bloating, indigestion, and other digestive disturbances. The immune system is also very dependent on energy, and persons in burnout often start to get sensitive to foods, chemicals, smells, and other things that they were never sensitive to before. Of course, these symptoms could be caused by a number of other factors. They're not always caused by burnout, and if you suffer from an irritable bowel, that does not mean that you have burnout. So how does a person get into burnout? Burnout occurs when the number of wear-down stress factors in one's life is so many, so great, or at such a close proximity to one another that our ability to recuperate is overwhelmed and our energy levels are sapped to such an extent that we drop below the burnout threshold and are unable to recover. What do we mean by wear down stress factors? These factors can be divided into physical things, mental things, social things, and spiritual things, and they also include health habits. There are 8 basic health habits or principles, and these are moderation, trust, air, nutrition, sunshine, water, exercise, and rest. If any of these health habits or principles are being followed in a poor manner or not being done properly, then that will result in poorer energy levels in the system. For example, if someone is getting very inadequate sleep due to shift work, this will be a wear-down factor. Often, wear-down factors are partly out of our control. For example, if you were a caregiver for someone with Alzheimer's or for a child with autism, you would have a number of challenging wear-down factors that you could do a little about, and therefore you would need to compensate in various ways to preserve energy by getting help, taking time out, and modifying your environment in such a way as to help preserve energy. Regarding physical wear-down factors, these may be bugs or pathogens that we have contracted, but stay in the system and require energy to look after. A good example of this is the chickenpox virus. If you've had chickenpox, the virus remains dormant in the system and lives in our nerve ganglia, part of the nervous system. It requires energy, resources of the immune system to keep this virus at bay and dormant. But if you become run down or burnt out, the chickenpox virus can reactivate and give you shingles. This means that anyone who gets shingles is likely to be burnt out. There are a variety of other bugs that we can also have that require energy to look after. Parasites in our gastrointestinal system, for example. Mosquito-borne pathogens like Ross River fever, Barmah Forest virus. Infections like glandular fever and so on. Another physical area that requires energy is poisons. The environment contains a number of environmental pollutants or poisons that require energy to detoxify and deal with in our bodies. And any other physical illness or handicap that we have may contribute to energy depletion on the physical realm. For example, if we've got a sore back, we can worry about it. It can affect our sleep, and thus it can reduce our available energy. Regarding mental, social, and spiritual, this is a big area, and there is a lot of overlap between these three parts of our lives. We probably consume more energy here than anywhere else. Worry is a big consumer of energy. Our thoughts go round and round in our minds and consume huge amounts of brain energy. We worry about people, we worry about relationships, we worry about money, we worry about our health. We need to learn to control our thoughts, to put boundaries on our thinking in order to preserve energy. Our social life is a huge area of energy consumption. Relationship challenges are everywhere in this world. This is why it's important to learn how to deal with anger, to learn how to forgive, to learn how to say sorry, to learn how to communicate, especially to those who are close to us, to learn about love languages, to learn how to listen. All these skills can enable us to deal with energy preservation and management, and thus reduce the risk of burnout. And then there are spiritual things, guilt, bitterness, fear of death, and loss of meaning. If these are a big consumer of energy in our lives, we need to go on a spiritual journey to find solutions. In my own life, I have found that Jesus Christ provides all the solutions I need in this area, in providing relief from guilt, fear, and in enabling me to forgive others and to be able to say sorry on a spiritual level. When it comes to getting burnout, there is another important area to consider. In the case of people who get burnout, there is often a precipitating factor, the last straw, as it were, that has broken the camel's back. It's important to know if there is a precipitating factor, what it is. There isn't always one. Some people slide into burnout through long-term stresses. But often there is something that is the final issue that leads to burnout. The clue when talking to people in burnout is that they will often say, "I have never been the same since." And what is after the word "since" is often the precipitating factor. For example, "I've never been the same since I had that flu or that infection. I've never been the same since that operation. I've never been the same since my third child was born. I've never been the same since we moved house. I've never been the same since the car accident, and so on. It's important to know what this precipitating factor is when it comes to treatment of burnout, which is what I would like to discuss next. I believe that in order to successfully treat burnout, it is necessary to take an inventory of health baggage in one's life. As we grow older and go through life, we accumulate health baggage on a physical level, such as injuries, bugs, poisons, illnesses, etc. And we also accumulate mental, social, and spiritual baggage. If this baggage is not dealt with in an appropriate manner or becomes too heavy, then it results in burnout. So if you are wanting to treat yourself or someone else with burnout, it's important to start at the beginning of their lives, when they were in their mother's womb, and to make a list of health baggage. As you make this list, it's also important to take note of the most significant or important health baggage items. In order to show how this works, let's consider a hypothetical example. We'll call our hypothetical person Johnny. Johnny was born into a loving family. He had two older siblings. However, Johnny's mother was unable to breastfeed him, and he was put onto a cow's milk formula as an infant. The family had a history of atopy, which means that in the family there was things running like asthma, eczema, and hay fever. Such families often have problems, in my experience, with dairy sensitivity. And this was the case with Johnny. Therefore, Johnny was sensitive to the cow's milk formula that he was being given, and this resulted in problems with his immune system and led him to develop recurrent ear infections. For this, he required repeated antibiotic courses. He also suffered from recurrent tonsillitis, which resulted in more antibiotics and an operation to remove his tonsils when he was 3 years old. When Johnny was 8, he contracted glandular fever at school and required a number of weeks rest at home before he was able to go back to school. When he was 9, he fell off his bicycle and significantly injured his back, which still continues to give him trouble and annoyances to this day. When he was 11, he had to start wearing glasses because he was short-sighted, and this resulted in the initiation of bullying at school. He was called names, and a number of the boys in particular ganged up on him and gave him a really hard time. He did not enjoy school as a result, and felt socially stigmatized and isolated. When he was 13, his father, who up till then had been a moderate alcohol drinker, became a full-blown alcoholic and shortly after left home for another woman. Johnny felt that it was his mother's fault, and he also blamed his father, and he has not forgiven them and is holding bitterness in his heart. When Johnny was 16, he started to have problems with his wisdom teeth, and one of them developed a chronic infection, which is still not being treated. When he was 18, he found himself working at a nursery where he was often spraying chemicals on plants. He was rather naughty and did not wear a mask or protective equipment, and this resulted in in him getting significant exposure to these chemicals. Finally, what tipped him into burnout was a relationship he had with a girlfriend who left him while he was on holiday. And while he was on that holiday, he contracted Balmer Forest virus, and his father also died in a car accident. When Johnny got back from his holiday, he found that his energy was extremely low and that he had a number of inexplicable symptoms, including brain fog, irritable bowel syndrome, aching muscles, poor temperature control, and sleep disturbance. Johnny was in burnout. So to treat Johnny, we have a list of items that we need to address pretty much at the same time. Johnny needs to be told to get off dairy products because he's still sensitive to them and they're affecting his system. He requires help in restoring his gut function and friendly bacteria by the use of, for example, probiotics because of all the antibiotics he has had. He would also do well to take antiviral herbs because of a glandular fever and Balmer Forest virus that he's had. It would be good for him to see a physiotherapy for the help that is needed for his back. Johnny needs help in forgiving and learning how to deal with bitterness in his life, and learning how to let go, and also in how to handle guilt regarding the bullying, his father and mother, and his girlfriend. Perhaps counselling would be appropriate here, or perhaps Johnny needs to seek counsel from some older people in his life he can trust. In addition, he may need to seek help in the spiritual realm. Johnny would need some help in the area of grief, trying to get over the tragic death of his father. And in my opinion, he would also benefit from sauna treatment to help him detoxify from the chemicals he's been exposed to. Also, he'll need help in the dental area with that infected wisdom tooth. What we have presented here is a brief overview of the subject of burnout, and we hope that it will prevent some people from getting burnout and assist those who are seeking to find a treatment for this difficult condition. For more information, you could go to my website, www.burnoutsolutions.com.au. That's burnoutsolutions.com.au.